As several states throughout the country gear up for Election Day tomorrow, the state of Florida is dealing with a major fight over the rights of felons and their ability to vote. You may remember last year, Florida restored the voting rights of nearly 1.4 million felons. But then, this summer, a controversial state law was passed that requires felons first pay all of their court fines and fees before they can vote. A federal judge recently issued a temporary injunction against the new state law, but several organizations, including the ACLU, are now suing. We spoke with Pastor Clifford Tyson of Tampa, Florida, a former felon who is now a plaintiff in a lawsuit challenging the payments law. Tyson was convicted and served time for a felony armed robbery that happened in the 1970s. He says the death of his children's mother in the 1990s set him on a pathway away from crime.
I was always in the church because my father was a pastor, but I just came back. It took something tragic like that to lead me back to where I believed.
We start our conversation with Tyson about what it was like to vote for the first time after the law was passed at 63 years old.
I registered on the very day that I was eligible, January the 8th, I believe. I received my voter registration card 2 weeks later. I voted in the first primary locally, and it was my first time voting after 42 years. I was so happy. I took my five-year-old grandson and my wife to the polls with me that morning at 7:30. And I wanted him to witness something, something that was important to me. And when they gave me my ballot, and there was only about 10 poll workers in there, maybe about two other people voting because it was early. And they told me to go over to the pick whatever booth I wanted. I started crying. And I began to cry, and one lady said, "Are you okay?" And my wife told them, "This is first time voting in 42 years. And so they began to give me an applause. And it was just that I didn't know it was going to be that emotional for me. And I wanted my grandson to see that, that his grandpa trying to get it right, and that's what I wanted him to carry on. So, yeah, it was a very emotional time.
So I can imagine when the secondary law was passed in July, really limiting the ability for felons to vote unless they paid all of their fees, that felt like a punch in the gut.
It was. It was like I had shackles put back on me, that it didn't matter. And what made it so bad, they did it not long after we got our rights restored. It was like, this is the avenue that we're going to take. We know they won't go win this vote, or they won this vote, and we're going to take these rights back. So, yeah, it was a punch in the gut.
A judge has since then issued a limited ruling that Florida cannot use a person's inability to pay fines as a reason to deny voting. But as part of this temporary ruling, if you are able to pay, though, you still have to pay. Tell me a little bit more about your lawsuit and what you're pushing for.
What we're pushing for is basically the 24th Amendment. I believe there's a clause in it that says a person should not be able to be denied the right to vote simply because they cannot pay. What's happening, there was never a system put in place in Florida to track to know what a person has paid, what they owe. It was never put in place. So we've had judges, we've had lawyers, people, even election officials who cannot accurately say what is owed. So if a group of 30 lawyers from Harvard to Notre Dame to Penn State can't figure it out, if judges can't figure it out, the average ex-felon who can't sometimes read his own name, how are they to know what they owe?
Yes, Florida has no centralized database where records for these court-ordered fines and fees or even payments of these penalties are stored. So to get that information, as you say, felons have to search on their own for documents. But it's even more complicated than that because if you are not able to do that and you go to vote as a felon, there's a potential of you being arrested again. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Exactly. They're saying we can't vote unless all of our fines are paid, but our names are still on the roll on the voters' registration. So it's, what if we go and vote, and then they got a "I got you" moment? You broke the law. Why should we help these ex-felons when they're continuing to break the law? And so I was in fear of breaking the law. And so many people who don't know this, don't know about government, all they know is I'm still on voter registration roll. Hmm. They don't really know that they could be breaking the law if they go vote. Hmm.
Florida is a really important state because it commands 29 of the 538 electoral votes. And Florida has historically had tight elections and contested outcomes. Are you worried that you won't be able to vote in the 2020 presidential election?
It doesn't worry me because right now the judge denied the state's stay because they tried to get a stay to let the law stay the same until they hear from the appellate courts. And so as it stands now, I'm able to vote without repercussions unless the higher court reverses the judge's decision and they rule in their favor before then. And so it's right now, it looks good, but it's still that chance that we may get different opinions.
I see. There are now four separate lawsuits, essentially calling this requirement for felons to pay fines a poll tax, which is basically a reference to an illegal practice of demanding voting fees that have historically been used to limit Black Americans' voting rights. Does this feel like that to you?
Absolutely. You know, I had a granny who passed at 114 years old.
Wow.
Her name was Bama Tyson. She had 31 children. My dad has 16 brothers, 15 sisters. And I've heard stories about them putting on a Sunday best, going to the polls to vote. And when they get there, they're told, count the number of jelly beans in the jar. They would make them do other things. So it's no different than the poll tax that they had back then that they're putting on us now. And it's and that's why this fight, to me, is personal. You know, I'm going to continue to, but I know I'm in it to the end.
What is next in this fight? As I said, as you mentioned, Judge Hinkle, he is the judge that made this temporary limited ruling that Florida cannot use a person's ability to pay fines as a reason to deny voting. But it's temporary. What's next with your lawsuit and this push?
Well, right now we have a trial tentatively set in April of 2020. Knowing that even the state is probably appealing Judge Hinkle's ruling right now. So we're in limbo because they're going to try and fight this until the end. And so we're in for, we're nowhere near the end of this thing. And so we're going to continue to make people aware to keep it on the forefront, to let them know not to give up on this fight and try and gather enough support because the people have spoken in the election. And that's why we have elections and democracy. And so we should be able to follow the rule of law.
That's Clifford Tyson, a pastor in Tampa, Florida, who is pushing for felons' rights to be able to vote in the state of Florida before the 2020 presidential election. Thank you so much, Pastor Tyson.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
And from Florida, we turn our attention now to the state with the highest incarceration rate in the country, Oklahoma, where today more than 450 people serving time for low-level drug and nonviolent offenses will be set free in the nation's largest single-day commutation in history.